we will take a short hiatus after tonight's teaching on our teaching on fundamentals of utterance. So the way things are going, we do series 3. It's very extensive, and we've not even done practicals. You know, we've not done practicals. When you went to school, didn't you do practicals and theory? Okay. The thing about the things of the spirit is that practicals are almost more important. It's just that without the theory, you don't have the backup for the practicals. Hallelujah. Whatever you have experienced of the flow of the spirit can only continue and be sustained by the conviction that comes from the word of God. Let me say that. Whatever you have experienced of the move of the spirit can only be sustained by the conviction you have from the word of God. That is from revealed truth. So the reason why many times we start and there's no continuity, it's not because God stopped, but because we don't have the conviction to go on. Hallelujah. Say with me, the word of God is the law of the realm of the spirit. The word of God is the law that governs the realm of the spirit. A law is a principle that always works when you walk it. All right. So it's important to know that some of the things we're studying operate by laws. There is nothing flimsy about the law. A law is something that works when you walk it. It's a principle that works when you walk it. So the word of God operates as a law, the law that upholds the things of the spirit. And so anything you have experienced when it comes to the move of the spirit can only be sustained by the conviction that comes from the revelation of God's word. That's how it's done. So that's one of the reasons why we emphasize so much teaching, because teaching brings understanding. Understanding facilitates enjoyment of those things. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians. So I'll say one or two things that we said before, and then we'll move on, because some scriptures just need to be read over and over again until it dawns upon us what the Spirit of God is trying to convey. Hallelujah. Christianity, it's the only revelation of God's will concerning man that speaks of what God has done so that man will know what to do. That's what the epistles are for. The epistles are our family album. See our family album. So when you enter, what do you see in your album? What do you see in the family album? What's in your family album? Your picture. Some of you see your picture when you were 10, when you were 5. See, you grew up to this extent. So the epistles are our family album. They reveal to us who we are. Above all, they reveal to us how God sees us. So that's why we spend time in the epistles, because we are looking at yourself. Okay? As we behold him, we see us. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Let me read from verse 1. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, not called to be saints. If you see that the word to be is sanctified, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to know what your position is, if you want to know what God's disposition is towards you every single day, read 1 Corinthians verse 1 and 4. It tells you, grace be unto you and peace from God. Say with me, grace and peace always proceeds from the Father and from the Lord Jesus towards me on a daily basis. There will never be a change in what proceeds towards me from the Father. Hallelujah. So it's a personal letter written unto you. I don't know why believers are always wondering, what is God saying? This is what God is saying. And you say, well, I want to know the will of God. This is the will of God. This is what proceeds from the Father to you every day. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is giving you. So, double emphasis. I'm thanking God for the grace which is given. Which grace? The grace that is already proceeding towards you, which is giving towards you. Verse 5. That in everything, say everything, you are enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, since you received the indwelling of the Spirit by the new birth, You are waiting for the coming or for the revelation of Jesus Christ, which some people call rapture. It now says, as you are waiting, how are you meant to wait? It says, I'm thanking God on your behalf that you are enriched by him in all or trust, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. So you and I, by the reason of that which we have been enriched by in Christ Jesus. The word enriched is the same word for inheritance, which is the minute you got saved and you were indwelled by the Spirit of God didn't come with a partial blessing that belongs to Christ. It came with all that belongs to Christ. So when it says you have been enriched by him, you come behind in no gift. You come behind in no expression of the Spirit of God through a believer. None. That is a little difficult to sometimes grasp when it comes to our thinking. But the testimony of Scripture says you come behind in no gift. Say, I come behind in no gift. I have all the manifestations and the expression of the Spirit in my spirit man. It says you have been enriched by him in everything, in all utterance and all knowledge. So we said all utterance and knowledge is the way you express everything that God has enriched you by. All utterance and all knowledge. So we see that utterances are fundamental to a believer expressing his inheritance in Christ. If I'm moving so fast, just do like this. Your signal. Utterances are fundamental to a believer expressing and enjoying his inheritance in Christ. Let me read the verse again. It says that in everything, verse 5, you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. So there are things to speak because there are things to know. That's another way of saying it. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to see if you're following. It says, I'm thanking God always on your behalf that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. So one way of measuring the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ is all utterance and all knowledge. It means there are things to say because there are things to know. That's another way of saying it. Okay? There are things to say because there are things for you to know. Or you are meant to know. He calls it all utterance and all knowledge. And within that utterance and knowledge, how is the testimony of Christ confirmed? It's so that you come behind in no gift. Let me see it another way. The fastest way for me to get into all the gifts, which are a confirmation of the testimony of Christ, is I should give myself to all utterance, which may lead me into all knowledge. Should I say that again? The fastest way for me to get into the inheritance that's mine in Christ, to give expression into it, is I will give myself over to all utterance, which will move me over into all knowledge. So we see that supernatural speakings precede supernatural revelation. That's what it's teaching. It says, you come behind in no gift. Even as the testimony of Christ has been confirmed in you, how do you come behind no gift? You have been enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. So as we're going on tonight, one of the things I want to show us is this, that the epistles, the revelation of the epistles, give us a license concerning how to operate the things of the Spirit. When you first start out in your Christian walk, the things of the Spirit look like something that the Holy Ghost switches on and off. But as you begin to look at the revelation of the Spirit of God through the epistles, what you discover is that the Spirit of God, like Jesus, is always on. And that it is the believer or the saint that switches on or off. But initially you feel like, because there were days when you were high and you experienced a flow of the Spirit, and things were like, in fact, you're like, oh, Jesus should just come now. Then you now tend to think that the Holy Ghost is the one we're switching on and off, but then the revelation of the Scriptures will now reveal to you that we are the ones who are switching on and off. And that switching on and off is a function of how much knowledge we have when it comes to revelation. Now the Bible here is categorically saying that we come behind in no gift. We have been enriched by him in all. All means nothing else left out. That is a tremendous statement. Remember, this is the testimony of God in Scriptures. He said the believer has been enriched by him in all things. The believer comes by him in no gift. No gift means there is no manifestation of spirit that the believer comes behind him. But the doorway into all the manifestations is all utterance and then all knowledge. as it operates. So the reason why we're focusing on utterance is because all utterance will open you up to all knowledge, and those two combined together are an expression of the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. So a believer who is not given to utterances is a believer who is not ready to express or to enjoy the fullness of his inheritance in Christ. That's what it means. So important. You will be a container of power. The power will be lying inside of you, dormant, and you will not give expression to it like you should. So it says, we come behind in no gift. In no gift. Hallelujah. All right, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We saw Acts chapter 2 last week. We say one or two things, and then we run away from it. We run to another chapter. So I don't get stuck here tonight. All right. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. Are you there? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Pay attention to the fact that in verse it says, it filled all the house. Whatever it was that came, filled all the house. And we defined that feeling last week as you pouring something into an empty vessel until the vessel is occupied. Then look at verse 3. It says, and there appeared unto them cloven long like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we said that the word filled in verse 4 in the Greek is different from the word filled in verse 2. And in verse 2, it speaks of filled as you will pour content into an empty container. But the word filled in verse 4 is a reference to a container being submerged by the content it already has. Should I say that again? When a container already has content, and then the content rises in the container, we say that the content takes over the container. I hope you understand the difference. So the word filled in verse 2, that's different between that word and the word filled in verse 4. That means verse 2 was God at work. Verse 4 was men responding to what God has done. Very important. Because it was when men responded in verse 4 and they began to speak that we saw things start happening. So as of verse 2, God was the one doing the feeding. In verse 4, men were the ones yielding to what they were filled with, and we now saw divine activity. And that principle is very important. After we discover what God has done, your response of faith is to give expression to what God has done. It means after you are filled with the Spirit, the ball is no longer in God's court, the ball is in your court. So the Bible says, and they were all filled and began. They began. They realized they were filled and they began. So they began means that they yielded or submitted to the Spirit within them in supernatural utterances. They began to speak. So we also said that the primary way a believer expresses the Spirit is through speaking, supernatural utterances. So important. And they all began to speak with utterance as what? The Spirit gave them utterance. So, again, let's pick up. I want to show you something. Verse 14. So here's Peter explaining. Let's look at what Peter said about Joel's prophecy again. I want to pull out something that he said there from verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. I want you to pay attention to that phrase. I will do what? Pour out of. It means I will pour out. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters, as a result of what is poured out, shall what? Prophesy. What were they doing when the people gathered round? What were they doing? They were speaking in tongues, isn't it? So he began to explain that what you're seeing is the prophecy of Joel. When he said, when I pour out of my spirit, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So it is safe to say that on the day of Pentecost, when they began to speak, hidden inside their tongues were prophecy, were visions, and were dreams. Is that okay? All right. So he said, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They shall prophesy. So if Peter's explanation or teaching on the day of Pentecost is an explanation of what took place from verse 1 to 4. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. Or let's put it this way, God poured out of his spirit upon them. they now poured out of their spirit utterances. Glory to God. Are you with me? God poured out of his spirit the Holy Ghost, and then they now poured out of their spirit the spirit in utterances. Do you see that now? So God did the first part, man did the second part, or man took over the initiative and began to express God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 now. So I've kept my promise. I've stayed away from Acts chapter 2. We spent a long time in Acts chapter 2. Follow after love or charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Look at that instruction. Notice again, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Who is Paul speaking to? To the church at Corinth. Who is his primary audience? Those who are saved or born again. So Paul is saying, since you are born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts. I'm instructing you now that the love you already have within you actually produces activity. Follow the activity of love on your inside. There is no one here tonight that is not led. There is no one here tonight who doesn't have the love of God, who is born again. So therefore, the love of God within you actually carries out his, or gives instructions or motivates or prompts you. Paul says, follow after is teaching principles about how to flow in the things of the Spirit. Follow after the activity of love, that's charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. One of the keys to unlocking chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is to read verse 1 and read every other verse in the light of verse 1. If you're reading verse 2 in light of verse 1, what did he say in verse 1? Follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Paul, how do I carry out these instructions? He that speaketh. Hallelujah. Are you following? He that speaketh. How do I demonstrate my desire for things of the Spirit? He that speaketh. He says, I should rather desire to prophesy. But where do I start from? I should desire spirituals. Remember our definition of spirituals. What's our definition of spirituals? Things that pertain to the Spirit. Things that pertain to the Spirit. So he says, follow after love and desire spirituals or things that pertain to the Spirit, but rather that you may want prophesy. He now says, for he that speaketh, or is not giving an explanation of what do I mean by saying you should desire. Remember that the one who speaks in tongues is not speaking unto men but unto God. For no man understands or catches the meaning, but in the Spirit speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. It means to desire spiritual gifts is to speak in tongues. That's what it means. But I'm saying that as you have started out desiring by speaking in tongues, I want you to prioritize prophecy. Let me say it again. What is the instruction in verse 1? That instruction is this. I want you to follow the activity of love. Then it is safe for you to desire manifestations of the Spirit. How do you desire manifestation of the Spirit? He is about to give you step-by-step instructions on what to do. He says the things of the Spirit have a lot to do with your desire. It means if I give attention to it and I expect to express it, I will start expressing it. But what is the first step? If I want to show my desire for the things, he that speaketh in tongues is not speaking to me but unto God. But he that prophesies is speaking unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. Why then do I say that when you're desiring the things of the Spirit, you should focus more on prophecy? I'm actually saying that tongues is a starting point. Tongues is not meant to be the end point. That's what he's teaching. Tongues is a starting point. It's not the only thing I can do. So if I'm speaking in tongues, I am desiring things of the Spirit. But then I should focus more or prioritize prophecy. So he's actually saying that the same desire I have that I used to express tongues is the same desire I can use to express prophecy. It's the same utterance, it's the same grace, it's the same Spirit. They all flow in the same direction, from the same direction. That's what he's saying. Let me say that again. Follow after love, desire things of the Spirit. The word spirituals is the word pneumaticon, things of the Spirit. And it says, because you have been enriched by him in all utterance, the things of the Spirit that are already resident within you. You know, he says, you come behind in no gift. So the things that are already resident within you, how do you bring them out? Desire. 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 So a man who is not speaking in tongues is not desiring things of the Spirit. Because things of the Spirit usually start from you yielding to supernatural utterances, primarily tongues. So if I'm desiring things of the Spirit, my first expression will be tongues. So he says, remember that he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men but unto God. For no man understands how beat in the Spirit is speaking mysteries. Let me rephrase that. In the Spirit is making sense. He has done well. He's making sense. It's not a mystery to God. It's not a mystery to his Spirit. It's only a mystery to his mind. But what is a mystery to his mind is understanding to his Spirit. He and God are having a secret conversation. It's only secret because his mind is not participating. And he's desiring things of the Spirit. He's saying the fact that your spirit, recruited in Christ Jesus, has certain characteristics. One of the major characteristics of your spirit is that your spirit can speak. And your spirit uses tongues to express the things that are resident within it. So he says, desire, but rather that you may prophesy. Follow after desire, but rather you may prophesy. For he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men but unto God. For no man understandeth, but in the spirit speaketh what? Mysteries. Verse 3. But he that prophesies. So initially you will think that he's speaking about two different people. Pay attention. He's not talking about two different people. You think saying there are some people who speak in tongues, there are some people who prophesy. No. He already told you in verse 1. Remember the rule I just gave. How do you interpret every verse of 1 Corinthians 14? You read verse 4, or you read every verse in light of verse 1. What does it say in verse 1? Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So if you have desired spirituals by speaking in tongues, he says, why don't you extend that desire to the point of prophecy also? That's what he's teaching. Why am I saying you should extend that desire to the point of prophesying? Because as long as you are speaking in tongues, God is the only audience. Only two people, you and God, are the only audience. But if you extend the same desire with which you used to express tongues to the point of prophesying, you have moved what was once a mystery between you and God to benefit some other people, which is there's now a third audience. You are now blessing the church. That's what he's saying. So the reason why I say, but rather that you may prophesy, is that I want you to take of the abundance of what your spirit has communicated with the Father and bring it to the place where men can be edified with it. Hallelujah. So the person in verse 2 is the person in verse 3. What's the difference? He changes audience. As long as he's speaking in tongues, he has only God and himself. When he speaks about the prophecy, he is now addressing men. Glory to God. If I stay with tongues, will I be blessed? Yes. If I move from tongues, say, what will happen? I will extend the blessing to others. So my tongues can only bless me, except I interpret it. When I interpret, what am I doing? I'm extending the blessing that I am enjoying to others to enjoy. For if I speak in tongues and I interpret, it becomes prophecy. That's what it's teaching. So it is good to speak with tongues. When I'm speaking, what am I doing? I'm fulfilling verse 1. I am desiring the things of the Spirit. But as I'm desiring, it says, rather that I may prophesy, or I should continue the desire and express it further to the point where I will be able to what? Prophesy. So it says, he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. But he that speaks in unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5, I would that you all speak with tongues. So he's trying to teach us how to walk in love. When it comes to manifestation of the gifts, he's giving you keys that cause the things of the Spirit to flow. He says, love is the foundation. Desire follows after love. If you want to express the things of the Spirit, let's put it this way. If love is the foundation, you can never miss it. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. In chapter 13, you know chapter 13, how many of us know chapter 13? We call it the Great Love Chapter. It's interesting that chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians 14 is not separate from what he has been teaching. Chapter 14 was sandwiched between chapter 12 and 14. Chapter 13 was sandwiched between chapter 12 and 10. So that people will know why they should desire things of the Spirit. So the whole teaching you find in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is a continuation of chapter 12, which is the reason why you should covet earnestly the best gifts. Because love should be your motivation, not showing off. That's what he's teaching. Glory to God. So if love is already in foundation, as I desire things of the Spirit, I can't miss it. Let me put it this way. If love is the reason why I want to minister to the church, I minister to you. Love has already taken away anything that's called selfish. Love also emboldens me to walk in the spirit or to flow in the spirit. Because perfect love casts out fear. So the fear of, am I sure what I want to say is accurate? Follow after love. How many of us like that? You know, people that flow in the spirit, you know what most of us think, that that brother is just fearless. There's nothing he cannot say, but there's nothing you also cannot say. Because he's not more enriched than you. You are all enriched in Christ. He doesn't have more of Christ than you do. He's just bolder because he has learned to practice more than you do. So the reason why he seems to be a step high, because he has given himself over to the things that belong to all, but he has excited himself more, that's all. And he also has the same sense of trepidation when he's starting out. So every time if I call you to come and start now, and start ministering now, you will have that sense of, inadequacy or fear. What will, in fact, your mind can be saying, what will you say? What will you say? What will you say? Well, so after your mind, shut up. I will say something. Why? Because the scriptures, listen carefully, the testimony of the word of God tells you that you have something. Let me ask a question. How many of us have a prophecy tonight? Now, stop. Why didn't you raise your hand? I will tell you why. You just failed the test of the word of God. Because you consulted your mind. I might tell you that it's only food I'm thinking of. There's nothing. But the word of God says you have. So the first step to flow is that you have to side in with the word. How many of us have prophecies tonight? If you are still consulting your mind, you're not walking in the spirit. Because you are thinking to have prophecy means that something is just moving me like this. No, nothing is moving you. To have simply means the word of God says I have, so I must have. For instance, let me ask you, how many of us are filled with the spirit? Let me see. Are you speaking tongues? Let me see. Okay. How many of you wonder if we give you the microphone where that tongues will come out? You know you use unconscious faith every day. You know you don't raise alarm when you want to stand up from the bed until you are unable to stand up. You just expect that when you want to stand up, you will what? Stand up. You know there are miracles that happen every day. You put spoon in the food and you carried it and it came to your mouth. You didn't miss. You don't know it's a miracle. Some people can eat in the dark and they won't miss their mouth. Now, you do all those things unconsciously by faith. No thought crosses your mind. What if my hand will not work? Why? You are used to it working. The things in your spirit are more definite than that. It's amazing. More definite than that. Which is, there's a tendency for there to be muscle seizure or failure. But there's no tendency for your spirit to ever fail. Your spirit cannot fail to function because of where it is seated with Christ forever. So you notice you shed this body, but you never shed your spirit. Your spirit is real you. So Paul is teaching the believers that since you're already that way in the spirit, and you have been enriched by God in all utterance and all knowledge, let me show you how to bring out what you have. He's not teaching them how to get it. It's how to bring it out, to express it. It's not, this is what God will do if you do this. Mm-mm. That's not New Testament. The New Testament is that since God has done this, the reason why you are not aware what he has done is because you have not been exercising it. How do you exercise? So that it will be a discovery to your mind, that riches of God's glory that are within your spirit, follow after love. Desire things of your spirit, but rather that you may want prophesy. Rather means that therefore that you have a say, you have a choice as you are desiring to move beyond tongues into prophecy. You have a choice. So it says, he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men, but unto God. For no man understands. Albeit in the spirit, he is speaking mysteries. He has taken the first step in desiring to desire things. But the next step is this. But remember that when he does that and he stops, He has only one audience, himself and God. But he can go on and extend it. But he that prophesies, or who decides to interpret the tongues he spoke in verse 2, in verse 3, yes, now he's now ministering to men. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? So verse 4 says, but he that speaks only in tongues or stays only with tongues edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. So what's the difference between tongues and prophecy? Interpretation, that's all. I edify the church when I bring interpretation to the tongues I just spoke. Glory to God. So I don't come to you speaking with tongues and leave it at tongues. Because the same me that spoke in tongues, if I was given utterance to speak to you in tongues, then inside the same utterance is the interpretation of the tongues. They are not separate. It is men that separate it. They are not separate. They come together. I would that you speak with tongues. Verse 5 now. 1 Corinthians 14 verse. I would. Say I would. I would also implies that it means resting within every believer is the faculty to speak in tongues. That's what it means. Because he says, I would that ye all. Ye all means that no single believer who is indwelled by the Spirit lacks the ability to speak. Where does it start from? Desire things of the Spirit. Things of your recreated human spirit. Desire those things. What are the things of your God? Because you have been enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. How do you express the utterance and all knowledge? How do you come behind in no gifts waiting for the testimony? I would that you all. So obviously the starting point is tongues. I would that you all speak in us, but rather that you may prophesy. Let me rephrase it in the way it's written in the Greek. I want you all to exercise yourself in tongues in order that you may prophesy. So what he's saying is this. I want to prophesy. Then you better learn to speak in tongues. That's what Paul is teaching. That the reason why you're having difficulty prophesying is because you didn't start from speaking in tongues. That if you have started from speaking in tongues, you will have found it easy to what? Prophesy. Hallelujah. What am I doing when I'm speaking in tongues? I'm denying spirituals. What else can I do? Inside the tongues I'm speaking is the interpretation of what I just said. And when I interpret it, it's prophecy. So I will that you all, say all. All of you speak with tongues. So here's the issue. If we all speak with tongues tonight, and we can all speak with tongues tonight, Paul is saying that, were you able to speak with tongues when you started? If your answer is yes, then Paul says you actually are able to prophesy also. And what Paul said? That's what he's teaching. I would that you all, and he's talking to the whole church, speak with tongues. But rather, or in order that you may prophesy, for greater is he of greater benefit. Is the one who moves on from the tongues to prophecy. Because in the New Testament, every time you hear prophecy, he's saying, speak with tongues and interpret. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to be as basic as possible. Because most of us just think that prophecy is something else, tongues something else. No, no, no. Tongues plus interpretation is prophecy. That's where everybody starts from where? Tongues. So, when am I prophesying? When I'm interpreting my tongues. Can I speak in tongues? Yes. If I can speak, what does that mean? It means I can prophesy because I can interpret what? What I just said. I can. Say I can. I can. I can. If you see somebody who is developed in it, you may be intimidated. You may be like, let me want to be like that brother. But that brother also didn't start from there. I told you that day about the brother who started. Just stop. Thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. Then he kept quiet. Later when they asked him, why did you stop? You just sat down again. The Lord does not say anything. No. He became afraid. If he started by saying, thus said the Lord, and nothing is coming, what do you think he should have done? What do you think he should have done? Excellent. He should have spoken in tongues. Someone says, why? Because the tongues will drag prophecy out. That's what you should have done. So let me put it another way. We can't cook up word of knowledge. We can't manufacture working of miracles. But we can speak in tongues. And the tongues will bring every other thing out. That's what it's. The tongues is the doorway into all the is the doorway into all the manifestations. So if I'm not given to speaking spiritual utterances, then I'm not ready to draw out all the others that God wants to draw. So if I start, if I come to speak in tongues now, I will obviously move over into revelation gifts, because my tongues, when I interpret it, will unveil revelation concerning you or concerning God's plans and purpose. Okay? Concerning God's plans and purpose. Okay? I'm going to say this to Steve in any way that he will understand. No need to be afraid. The thoughts of the attack coming back, it won't come back. It won't succeed. There won't be a second time. Once was all that the enemy had, but the master had a greater opportunity in blessing, and his blessing doth rest upon you. So have no fear. Entertain no thoughts in the night. Let no dream terrify you. In nothing should you be terrified of the adversary. For your victory is overwhelmingly sound and clear, and your victory rings louder and louder than the voice and the antics of the enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now he understands what I'm saying. Okay, now, if you wanted to give a prophecy and you sense it's not coming, what is the formula according to 1 Corinthians 14? Start with tongues. It's because in your mind you are separating tongues from prophecy. And Paul is teaching, I would that you all, say we all, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather means therefore that if I speak with tongues and I interpret my tongues, I am prophesying. So let me ask you a question. If tongues plus prophecy is equal, sorry, tongues plus interpretation is equal to prophecy, and I don't start with tongues, is there anything to interpret? I want to see if you have for it. Is there anything to interpret? No. So in the New Testament, prophecy is primarily tongues plus the interpretation. That's why it's so unique. It wasn't so in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, prophecy is primarily tongues plus the interpretation. That's what prophecy is. So any believer who can speak in tongues can prophesy, because the believer can interpret his tongues. That's what it means. I was teaching, I would that you all speak with tongues. Prayer that he prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret. That means therefore that the one who spoke in tongues and is not prophesying simply refused to give interpretation to his tongues. That's what he did. Notice he didn't say God didn't give him. He refused to continue. It means he allowed his desire only to express tongues. He didn't allow desire to move further and interpret what he had just said. Hallelujah. Notice the way the instructions are written such that it means therefore that if you can desire, it's within your control. If it was within the control of the Holy Spirit, what instruction will you see? Pray, 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 pray. But since it's within your control, what does he use? Desire. I need you to understand the phrases he's using. Desire, because it's within your control. Within your control. So once you're reading 1 Corinthians 14, and you think the man in verse 2, even from the man in verse 3, you already lost sight of what he's saying. He's teaching the principles of how do I move from tongues into interpretation, which is prophecy. And if I focus more on interpreting my tongues, which is prophecy, I will be blessing more people. I will increase the circumference or the scope of the audience. I will be blessed. I'll move from just God and me. For if I stay only with tongues, only God and me are getting blessed. And I understand what I'm saying. But I need to move it out of just God and me to other people involved. I would that you all speak. I'm going to take a jump now. And I want you to see what it says. Verse 37. Let's see. Verse 37. Let me come back to my tab. We thank the Lord. All right, see, verse 7. See, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? Are what? Notice this, everything I've written from verse 1 to 9 is what? Commandments. Now it says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, is communicating a very important truth. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, is actually telling you that a spiritual believer will function like a prophet. He didn't say a spiritual believer is a prophet. He's saying a spiritual believer will function like a prophet. What do you know about prophets? Revelations and what? Visions. So he says, if any man thinks that to be spiritual, a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that things that I taught you are what? The commandments of the Lord. Did you see that? So, of course, you know, when Paul is teaching spiritual here, remember what he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Notice the phrase is as unto. It didn't say a believer is carnal. Say a believer cannot be carnal, but a believer can act like unto carnal. it's a figure of speech. Let me explain. Carnal and spiritual don't go together. A believer is already spiritual because he's born of the Spirit. But like unto means in his understanding, he's not functioning like a believer. So he says, I could not speak unto you like unto spiritual, but like unto carnal. So like unto is a phrase. He's using about their, he's referring to their understanding. So when it comes to this place, if any man think himself, he's saying that whether you're spiritual or not, is a function of your thinking. That is what it means to be spiritual. Being spiritual or not spiritual is a function of the way you are thinking. So if any man think himself to be spiritual or a prophet, which is anyone who is spiritual will almost function like a prophet. That's what he's saying. So he says, if any man think himself to be before the spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things are right unto you, or you should have a witness within the spirit that these things have instructed you are commandments and not suggestions. Look at the next verse. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That means that after all the instruction I've given, you still refuse to change from where you are. Remain in your condition. But how will not allow you to remain? I'm a pastor here. I will not allow you to remain. You are not permitted to remain in the same level of ignorance. You will graduate. The office of the unlearned is now vacant in Jesus' name. That office no longer exists in this church. Everybody here is learned. Say amen. Look at the next verse. Wherefore? Oh, glory. Wherefore, brethren? Covet. You know the same way you covet cars on the road? Car, this Jeep. This Jeep. Have you seen the new Range Rover Vogue? You see, yeah. This is a yes. The way you covet such things, it covets to one, prophesy, and forbid not to speak with. If you stay with and you follow the principle from verse 1, what's the principle in verse 1? Follow after love and desire spirituals, but rather you may want prophesy. So one is a means to an end. Tongues is a means to get into one prophecy. But here he speaks about prophecy first, and that says forbid not to speak. In other words, what he's saying is, how do I convert to prophesy? By forbidding not to speak with tongues. Should I say that again? Why are you not prophesying? Likely because you are forbidding speaking in tongues. How do I get into prophecy? I must not forbid speaking in tongues. It means if I hold back from speaking in tongues, I'm also holding back from what? Prophecy. The way to demonstrate my coveting prophecy is that I must not forbid tongues. It means forbidding tongues or allowing tongues is a function of my mind, because it says that he that thinks himself to be spiritual among you, let him acknowledge. How do spiritual people behave? They don't forbid tongues. They give themselves over to tongues copiously. If they are doing that, what are they doing? They are coveting prophecy. That's what it means. So it's actually not saying that you start with prophecy and then with tongues. It's saying that you start with what? Tongues. That as long as you are forbidding not speaking in tongues, you are actually indirectly coveting to prophesy. And it's those who think they are spiritual. So it's not we that will come and say, that brother is spiritual. No, it's your thinking. What you've been able to embrace in the Word of God. What you've been able to receive of the Word of God that determines your spirituality in that sense. Every believer is spiritual. But ye which are spiritual means that in your understanding, you've learned to embrace the truth of God's Word to the point of practice. What is he practicing? He's not forbidding speaking in tongues because he is coveting to prophesy. Glory to God. So the more he speaks in tongues, where will he end up? Prophecy. What is prophecy? Tongues plus the interpretation. So if I can't speak with tongues, the only reason why I don't prophesy is that I don't continue. So it teaches that how do I extend it or continue? I should remember that the one who goes ahead from the tongues he just spoke to interpret it so that he can give prophecy is of greater benefit to the church. So tongues is perfect, it's good when you are alone. You can still be tongues alone. But when you come to the society of other believers in a gathering, the Bible says that you can extend from just tongues by giving interpretation of tongues, which is what? Prophecy. Which is you increase the audience that will benefit from what you are saying. So as long as I stay with tongues, who is getting edified? Me. If I move to prophecy, who is getting edified? Others. Hallelujah. Others are getting edified. So if I stay with tongues alone and I'm alone, it is okay to stay with tongues alone because I'm still being edified. But when I'm in a gathering of saints, I must extend it or move the benefit out from the mysterious or hidden realm to the known realm so that others can benefit for what I'm saying. That's what it's teaching. So wherefore, convert to prophesy and forbid not. Forbid not. So as long as I'm not prophesying, what am I doing? I'm forbidding speaking in tongues. That's what's happening. I'm sure it doesn't sound like it should. I know, Pastor, you don't know me. I don't forbid speaking in tongues. No, you are. Convert because I forbid not. So if you are really forbidding not, where will you end up? Prophecy. It means you cannot tarry with tongues long enough and not end up where? In prophecy, you can't. You can't. So it's a conscious exercise. It's not something that comes upon you. We must change this mindset of, something will just come. The Holy Ghost will just move me. No, you move yourself. It's a follow after Lord. We just move. In fact, he says, let me tell you how to manufacture it. Start by making love the aim. Love the aim simply means there's somebody here tonight that needs to be edified. Because it says that when you come to the church, he that prophesies edifies the church. It means the church needs edification. That's what it means. So as we're here tonight, is there prophecy here tonight? Yes. Why would there be prophecy here tonight? Because somebody needs to be edified, exhorted, and comforted. The question is, who will express what is already here? That's the question. Because somebody needs to be edified, exalted, and comforted. And that's what prophecy does. So, somebody is meant to give the prophecy that will do that for somebody here tonight. But somebody needs to hear that. Hallelujah. You have to move away from the fear of that, how will I say it? What if I mix past tense for present tense? Mix it. You are the one who makes the English. The Holy Ghost is not the grammarian. What he gives you is the utterance. You were the one who made past tense. You are the one who, when we were prophesying, told us that as Moses killed Goliath, we know that it was David that killed Goliath. And we will pardon you because it is what you want to say after Moses, because Moses and Goliath don't matter to us. It is what that the victory that God wants to give us from your prophecy is what we are waiting to receive. You understand? So even though he said Moses killed Goliath, we say, yes, it's okay. Since we know that at the end of the day, what you told us are that so as Christ apportioned victory unto you, we thank God. We will leave the Moses and Goliath alone. So if you're too afraid of semantics, of my words, the phrases, you are too full of yourself. Of greater benefit is it that prophesies than it that what? Speaks only in tongues. So the person who is speaking only in tongues is confining edification to himself. Is that legitimate? Yes. What is better? Extend it to others. That's better. And it's a function of will. In fact, it says desire. So with desire, I can move it from just myself to others. So verse 2 is how I started. Verse 2 is not how I ended. Verse 2 is that I started by speaking in other tongues. Verse 3 is that I interpreted what I said and I spoke edification and exhortation. Verse 4 is that if I had stayed only with tongues, I would have been blessing only myself. But if I interpret what I said, I will bless many others. Verse 5 is that now that all of you know you cannot speak in tongues, why don't you start with the tongues with the intention of interpreting so you can bless many more? That's what he's teaching. Hallelujah. So the man in verse 2 is one in verse 3, is one in verse 4. It's just that the man is the extent to which he's agreed to go, that the scriptures are what? Expressing. Glory to God. So look at verse 26 now. I like verse 26. Because except you are not born again, you are inside that verse somewhere. See what it says in verse 26. How is it then, brethren? If you are not a brethren, you can leave now. Say, I'm a brethren. May God pardon the English. You are a bread. I will use you this. If you are among the brethren, this is what brethren have. This is the testimony of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. How is it then, brethren? You cannot start a statement with how is it then, except you have been saying some other things before. What did he say in verse 23? See what this is, verse 23. Come back here. Verse 23, sir. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with us, do what? Notice the whole church. If a member of the church or the body of Christ, you are somebody that can speak. If I said, if it is the whole church, all of them can speak. That's what he's saying. If the whole church become together and all speak with tongues, and they are coming those that are online, the unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Notice that the people that are online and unbelievers will say that you are. What they are saying is a testimony to what they are. Their conclusion is a manifestation of their nature. Because their conclusion is not right. But because they are uninitiated in what you are practicing, they will say, it's not the same thing as you are actually mad, you are not. But they will say, you understand that? Acts chapter 2, they say these people are drunk. Why? They are learned and not believers. So they will say, because all you were saying is what? Tongues. Were you making sense to God? Yes. Will they not say, doesn't mean that what they said is correct. It seems they will say, the whole church will come together. So it's normal for the whole church to come together and everybody speaking tongues, because it is a language that is common to us and we are all happy. It now says, those who don't know what we are doing, and it puts to category. Notice if the whole church will come together. So a good believer comes to service on time, because he said, if they are coming. So why are people laughing like this? Or none of the non-believers, they usually come late. See? We have all started speaking in tongues and then they now came after. What does that tell you? They're late comers. So tell your neighbor, don't be online. Don't be a non-believer. For they manifest themselves by coming late. So what is it? They're coming late. The whole church has come together. Then they now came after. That means they're late comers. So if you do late coming, what are you? I didn't say so. The Bible says that you are unlearned. It's the Bible that says so. You are making yourself unlearned. So it says, and not speaking of, they're coming those that are unlearned. Will they not say that you're mad? Look at the next verse now. Next verse, verse 24. But, oh glory to God, the same group of people, the whole church. But if all, you know, but if all, notice this, but if all are moved, no, they joyfully, consciously, deliberately came together and were all speaking in tongues. The same way they came together and started with tongues, what if all of them started to interpret what they are saying? That's what Paul is teaching. Say they were, all of them can interpret what they are saying. Say, but if all prophesy, and there come one that believes in one on another, he is convinced of all, is judged of all. Can you see that? So let me say what he's saying. I say, want to go, let us all speak in tongues, and then they're coming those that are online and not believers. I say, want to go, let us all prophesy now, which is interpret your tongues. The same way. We just switch. Why are we switching? They are coming those that are unbelievers and unlearned. And we don't want them to say that we are mad. So we want to prove to them that we are not mad. By interpreting what we have been saying, which will now reveal what is in their hearts. They will now fall down and say, God is in you. Do you understand? Why were we speaking in tongues only before? Because that speaks in tongues edifies himself. We're edifying ourselves. So it was okay, it was fine. But when they came in, we said that, oh, you want to enjoy what we're enjoying? Let us show you. And it's conscious. How do we show them? Verse 26. Verse 26, see what it says there. Are you following tonight? How is it, brethren? When you come together, every one of you, the original when it says, each and every one. Who are they? Brethren. Bread. And each and every one of the brethren. See what it says. Each of you have a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. It makes it worse. Let all things be done unto edifying. Should I tell you what that means literally? You know, it says, I am telling you that whenever you come together, have you noticed that every one of you has something to give? So queue up. And make sure you give it in a way that it will be in order. Is that why you're not saying the pastor should be begging? Who will come and prophesy now? Look at me, I said that you should be so eager about that. Way, okay, let him give before you. I know you came to the front, but let him give before you. That is, let all things, what things, all trans you want to give, let it be done unto edifying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let all, if you will only act in light of scriptures, you will flow in the things of the spirit with ease. You don't consult your brain, you consult the word of God. The Bible says, I have, and means I must have. How do I prove I have? I come out. What do I do when I come out? Pastor, as I fast, I was stood up, I didn't even know what I had. We know. What are you doing? You are acting on the word. What is the good thing about acting on the word? The word never fails. What will happen when you come out? You will have. How do you know what you have? You start with tongues. What will come out? Prophecy. It is a law. When you come together, so as we're seated here tonight, there are psalms here, there are hymns here, there are interpretations here tonight. The question is, will you give it? But they are all here tonight. Some of you thinking that I've been working all day. I'm not sure that I have the strength for anything. It's not physical strength, it's spiritual strength. It's in your spirit. There are psalms here, there are hymns here, there are spiritual songs here tonight. There are revelations here that somebody needs to hear. You know, somebody needs to hear tonight that they shouldn't worry about getting that bill paid, that the money will come. Somebody needs to hear that. Now, I say that because it has been in somebody's mind, but the person has not said it. What are you doing? You are not converting to prophesy. But it is there. Somebody is a little bit anxious about the medical report here tonight. How do I know? I just know. Because I come behind in no gift. Somebody is waiting for a decision that will be made on Monday, and Monday will be a turning point as far as this year is concerned. And the result will be good. How do you know those things? Forbid not to speak with tongues. That's how you convert to prophesy. But if you are afraid to give what you have, notice we're not discussing whether you have it. The Bible says you have it. So I sided with what I believe that you have it. The question is the instructions that are given concerning how you will give what you have. Pastor, what if I don't know what I have? The instructions are there for you to know how to know what you have. How do I know what I have? I start with tongues. Where will I end up? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which are all manifestations of prophecy. A psalm is an expression of prophecy. A hymn is an expression of prophecy. Interpretation is prophecy. Do you understand that? A doctrine or a teaching is prophecy. That's what he's saying. Let all things be done unto edifying, or for the purpose of building others up. That is what he's teaching. So he says, when we come together, everyone, that's another key. When we come together, means that there's a corporate grace we're flowing in, that everyone will be stirred up on their inside to express the same spirit that indwells us all. When you come together, how is it that when you come together, we can, some things will flow when we come together that will not necessarily even flow when you are alone. When you are alone, most of what you do is tongues, which edifies you, okay? And it's only you and God that are there. But when we come together, there will be stirrings because we have come together. We are the body of the anointed. Hallelujah. Every one of you, each and every one. So who has prophecy tonight? If you are slow to raise your hand, you will start first. You will start first. You are the one that will prophesy first. Because again, when you are not ready to raise hands, it means you're still afraid. You're still thinking, what if God doesn't move? What if Jesus has not risen? He has risen, no. He's rising and he's sitting. Is God moving? God has moved. He has moved so far that you are not indwelled by his spirit. It's an irreversible process. The spirit of truth to abide with you forever. So say with me, hymns, spiritual songs, revelations, interpreters, abide in me even tonight. I choose to give expression to those things at will. I desire things of the spirit. I convert to prophesy. Hallelujah. This is compared to prophesy. I forbid not to speak with tongue like kati leverishti kasaro. No kifra tayye, le tubros taki de legi eshtaro. Unki preke sukruta elia kata akiki shekru. You will find a greater unction, a greater urge, a greater stirring of the waters as you step out by faith. For as you step out by faith, that which you are starting with is that which God has apportioned for you in Christ. That which has the substance and the reality of the resurrection of the only one behind it. So be not afraid, not draw back, knowing that that which you handle is a sure thing, for the testimony of Christ has been confirmed in you already by the new birth. That testimony, therefore, we find expression in words that line up with the truths of the scriptures, even the epistles, for they are the better things that the blood of sprinkling speaks when it speaks concerning you and I. Hallelujah. Now, I started with tongues. Where did I end up? Prophecy. I prophesied. How do you start that? Exactly the way I started. Do you know when you start where you will end? You just know you end with prophecy, but you may not necessarily know what you're going to say. So what then do you do? You say what comes line upon line, precept upon what? Precept. And nobody is forcing you to speak it fast. The pace at which you go is your own pace. It's not God's pace. It's your pace. Why do I speak the way I speak? That is the way I speak. Do you notice my prophecy appears fast? Because I normally teach fast. Have you noticed that? Do you know some people's prophecies can be very long? Because when I even give it naturally, it's long. You are laughing now. I'm telling you that prophecy will manifest through your personality. If it takes you 30 minutes to explain a point, when you are prophesying, and I say mine in 30 seconds, you will say yours in 2 minutes. Because you are giving to voluminous explanations. And it will show in the utterances. It's not God, it is you. What you have is utterance. What I have is utterance. How we both express it will reflect in our personality. So, I speak fast naturally. Not necessarily speak. That's me natural when it comes to, but when it comes to teaching. So, likely also the way I prophesy, it's likely to be a bit what? Fast. It's me. It's not, you know, that's the way the Spirit of God just moves, Pastor. No. It is Pastor moving. Responding to the Spirit of God. So, your own can be very slow. Your own can be like, and he will come. Where are you people laughing? It depends on you. He said, every one of you has what? A psalm, a hymn, an interpretation, a revelation, a doctrine. Will you all teach the way I teach? No. You shouldn't even want to teach the way I teach. Because there are different personalities in expression. There is not one single person that can express all of Christ. So your uniqueness is a celebration in Christ. Hallelujah. Your uniqueness is a celebration in Christ. There is a side of Christ you won't see if you are not alive. So your uniqueness is important. Important. So you can emulate. But you don't have to copy, you know, everything. You know, people copy somebody that they appreciate so much. They probably copy personality, character, everything. Emulate good things. But let your personality remain intact. So you can expect copa ile frastike lika kash to kugatia. Ekugun kiglia kugune eke sikataya. E shikomakale e suru kutai. E no su e frieta anion ko kofri etilegi. E shikruta kalatia. More than once the sound of rainfall has come. But the rain never fell. The cloud deepened and the clouds gathered. That it will rain, but the rain never fell. Now, Uncle Sikri Edika Ashtike Kisekita. But the opposite is about to take place. For there will be no cloud, but rain will come. And the rain will come in abundance. And there will no longer exist of expecting and no manifestation. For beyond the expectation, the manifestation will overtake and overcome. Bali Esugruta Eniaka. Yeah, she go kratike esiketia. The first opportunity came and it went, and it wasn't given to you. The second came also, and your heart is getting sick. And the enemy has said, so will it continue, for it will be like a mirage. That which you have desired and longed for will not come to pass, but it will, for it is a reality already in the Holy One. And that which will come as a result of the loss will surpass that which was lost, and will replace all, and will completely remove every trace of sorrow and every trace of disappointment until your joy is full. Until your joy is full. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now notice that the interpretation of those tongues contained revelation. I mean, you understand? Revelation. But what, how did this start out? For you will not be without a place of abode. You will not be without a place to lay your head. For supernaturally, it will provide for you a place to stay. A place, alakrotia, where you will live in peace, where you will enjoy even much more than you have experienced before. Mogrange sigrotu. So look not at the economy of nation. Look not at how things are in the market. Look not at how things are concerning the work of yours, but look to the riches of the glory by which the Father supplies and meets all the needs of his children. And as you look at the riches of his glory that determines his supply, the supply will come unfailingly, and you shall not be ashamed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how do you enter into those things? You start with tongues. For hidden inside tongues, therefore, is a cobra kitelie shekru takal. Akasugo sevriste kiligatia and shun komin geliata sukuta. For you see, many a time I have sent my angels. Many a time I have stationed them around you before challenges arose. I have sent them, and many times their presence triggers the manifestation of utterances. And so many of my children have sensed the urge to speak, and they spoke. And at the end, at the tail end of their speaking, they felt like rejoicing, but then they were alone, and having no visible reason around them to rejoice, they stopped at the level of the utterance. I didn't follow up with the rejoicing, for the rejoicing at the tail end of the utterance is the energy that the angel requires to carry and to get the job done. And so repent and say, never again will I start and not end with rejoicing, for rejoicing is the anthem of the saints. Rejoicing is declaration of the victory that was accomplished for you on the cross. Rejoicing, even the song of victory, is that which was given you for the angel to learn that the Father has blessed you with all spiritual blessing. For that rejoicing is that which the angels use and will bring into full manifestation all that Christ has accomplished for you. And so never start and not end with rejoicing, but let your rejoicing be as loud as your tongues. Let your rejoicing. For as it is written, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that glory will the angels take and will the angels use. For you see, the substance of that glory is the resurrection of the Holy One. And so, out of the same energy that brought him out of the grave, the angels will take and will make provision for all the needs of the saints. So poligrastia yeshu kodika enge kikesi gelia. For you see, you are the university that the angels study to know what has been accomplished through Christ. For that which has been accomplished is strange in the world of the angels, but the believer is the university to study all that God has wrought in Christ Jesus. So as you speak, And you demonstrate, they learn, they are instructed, and they go forth to manifest all that the Father has made available for you. So ensure that your rejoicing is continuous, your rejoicing is permanent, and things will change positions and experiences will comfort anew, and you will end up with all that you have desired in your hand. Glory to God. I saw someone get a new laptop. Yeah, I saw someone get a new laptop. Glory to God. Oh, we exalt you. Oh, we exalt you. We exalt you. Glory, 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 glory. We exalt you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. We exalt you. Okala basikeli ashtoko restia. Yesugra taile hatuko shokubra stike sika. Aka kiteli akike sike. Resu sobrakata. Eentu logia sharu shuru shuru shuru. For the wind spoken of in the scriptures is the angels at work. For that which is spoken in the scriptures, that the winds from the east and the wind from the west is actually the activity of angels. And so trade and the work of your hands and the business enterprise that you have entered into will be greatly aided by the wind that is brought about by the ministry of angels. And so ko ple eleka ye jorukata and ianko to sukul gesi efrita ye shisho brostaka liya. For the table is set, the table is prepared. Sit down, and your sitting at the table is your rejoicing. For your rejoicing is a declaration that is a table already, a table of abundant provision. Your rejoicing does not make the table available. Your rejoicing helps you to partake of what's on the table. Your rejoicing makes the angels therefore go forth and bring forth results in line with what the table has already provided. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Okay. I'm going to say this interpretation this way so you get it. How many of us are science students? You did science in school. Okay. Those who don't know, I will say it in a way we understand. There's what's called resonance. Okay. Resonance is when a particular object vibrates, okay, to the sound coming from another one. So, yes, exactly what I saw, and that's this interpretation really, that there is a rejoicing that the Spirit initiated that causes the things you desire to resonate. Yes, sir. Do you understand? Should I say that again? Now, you know, resonance in physics is actually, there's a particular sound, there's a decibel of sound that there are different objects, it's not every object. Different objects resonate to a particular sound frequency. So there are frequencies that cause something. So what will cause this chair to resonate because it's metal is even what will cause the fan to resonate. So these different. Now, in that sense, there's a rejoicing at the tail end of the believer's utterance that will cause physical, material things that you desire to actually resonate. You understand? So then Bible says that our rejoicing brings in the harvest. It's actually saying that it is that rejoicing that there's a frequency it produces that causes objects and material things to actually start responding on the earth. So while we ask in prayer for us to have this or that, what God gives us a response is utterance backed up by rejoicing that causes those things to respond in the realm of the Spirit. And they start coming in our direction. And so as this year runs to an end, we will up our rejoicing. And we will harvest more and more than we have ever harvested before. Greater things begin to come forth. Supernatural things will start coming in our direction. Glory to his name forever. Start coming in our direction. It's not coming in our direction. Glory, 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 glory to his name forever. Hallelujah. Steve, when I prophesied about that check, can you remember about that check? If it doesn't come, it's still coming. No? If it doesn't come, it's still coming. And you know it's a huge sum. Yeah, it's a huge sum. If you have not seen, it's coming. It's coming. It will not fail to come. Yeah, but check written, it will come without fail. Without fail. And you see, in this season that we're entering into a fasting and prayer, we're going to have a tremendous time in the area of miracles. Tremendous time. Tremendous things. Then strange reports will begin to come in. Testimonies that can't be defined. Strange things. You see, the very theme of this prayer, season of prayer, that I've asked them to title the prayer seminar, Praying in the Name. I got it when I was praying in tongues. I got it when I was praying in tongues. I don't even know, you know, what I'm going to say. I just know that's what he said. Just stay with this team. And every time that happens, some very unusual miracles in manifestations begin to show up. So expect that throughout the month of November, those Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to meet him. If all I do is teach 30 minutes, I will pray for an hour. Some very strange things are going to erupt. Very strange things. Results that can't be explained. You can't explain it away. I mean, the kind of results that you're going to like, okay, I know I have the result, but I still can't explain it. I'm still wondering, did it really happen? But those things are going to happen. Let's give him praise tonight. Blessed be his Lord. Glory to God forever. Father, we are grateful tonight. So thankful are we. So grateful are we. So thankful are we. So grateful are we. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for the table prepared before us. Thank you for your partakers. Oh, blessed be your name. Hallelujah.